everybody, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 184, recorded on Sunday, June 24th, 2018. I am joined by my trusty co-host, Tim. Tim, how are you?
You know, I am doing very well. I am awesome. Well rested from my vacation, trying to readjust to Eastern Standard Time again. Was really looking forward to recording tonight with you and Liz. And
I know, well, we thought we were getting the band together, and then Lizzie can't be. Now, should we call her out on what happened?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, okay. So totally. What happened was we had a message in Discord earlier today that, oh no, I've locked myself out of my office. I can't get in. My keys are in there. And of course, she records from her office. So So it's just Tim and I tonight, but we can, you know, blame everything on Lizzie. And, you know, you lock your keys in your office, you're going to take some flack about that.
Yeah.
There is no way you're not cut, right?
Elizabeth, I don't know. I don't know.
She was already dreading the fact that you were going to come down on her for this too in Discord, because you said you were going to take a nap because you're still adjusting to Eastern time zone from being in Europe.
Yep.
And she's like, oh no, he's in a nap. He's going to wake up and he's going to be well rested and he's going to be coming down to me for this. I was like, that's awesome.
And she actually ended up missing two shows tonight because she was also recording. She was supposed to be recording Fangirl.
Oh, that's right.
Before this. So, yeah, she ended up missing out on two shows. So it is a bummer for her.
Did the other girls go on without her, or did they find a replacement for her?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. So, yeah, okay. It's definitely a bummer that she ended up missing out on recording tonight. But we also got to do, Lou, you and I, along with a miscellaneous cast of others, got to do the summer movie draft last night.
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to be involved in this one. I thought we had enough hosts.
Neither did I.
And at the last minute, I guess we had some people back out, and I was at dinner with my wife at my in-laws, and I'm like, I'll be home in time, I guess. I'm like, I have no idea what movies are coming out, but it was a lot of fun.
It filled up when it first got announced in our staff channel in Discord. And with it being like the day after I was getting back, I figured, you know what? No, I'm not even going to put in for it. It's going to be too much. We've got a bunch of new hosts, which is awesome. So we'll give them a chance to do it. Still, you know, kind of a bummer for me because I'm like, oh, I love the movie drafts. They're just a lot of fun.
And you do so well usually.
Yeah. Maybe I have too much fun doing them. I don't know. But yeah, with a couple of people having some last minute conflicts, I kind of ended up in the same position you did, which was like, well, I guess I could swing it.
Right.
So yeah, you and I jumped in.
And you know, like the funny thing is, I'm looking through, I jumped in like an hour before. I'm like, oh my God. So I got home and I had like 20 minutes to look at the movies and I'm trying to go through some of these trailers. And I'm looking at these names. I'm like, you know, you don't even know what they're about from the name. I'm like, okay, searching. Yeah, I have no idea. I'm like,
yeah,
The Meg. I'm like, what is The Meg about? I'm like, really? Okay. I mean, I think I only heard of about a third of the movies that were on the list, tell you the truth.
Yeah. And probably like most of those movies, I think, are all the movies that are coming out next month in July. Movies past that, like very few of them I was even familiar with. But the July movies, I think I knew every single one of them.
Yeah, I don't think anything in July is going, that's really weird. No. I think Unfriend of the Dark Web is maybe the only thing I really didn't know about, but that was easy to see what it was just from the title.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we were commenting last night that there is a vacancy here of a big, huge blockbuster movie. We lowered our cap down. So we used to have a cap of 400 million for the big tentpole movies. We didn't want anybody spending all their money on one movie. It's just going to win them the whole draft. So
Liz.
It didn't work for her though.
No, it did not.
So we limited to 400, and now we've limited actually down even lower to 350 because we still thought it was a bit high. Yep. And of the movies out here, I mean, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp is a big tentpole. I think Skyscraper is, Mission Impossible, of course. The Christopher Robin movie from Disney is a big movie. But I don't know if any of these movies are actually going to hit that 350 cap. I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
Maybe the Disney movie from Christopher Robin, because it's so, nothing else like it. you know, it's the first time back to Winnie the Pooh in whatever, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that may be a movie that does really, really well. But, you know, the past Mission Impossibles haven't hit that cap. I don't see Ant-Man and the Wasp hitting cap.
No.
You know, these movies all do well. I'm thinking all of them are, you know, 150, 250 maybe, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mission Impossible movies always perform well.
Yep.
Not, like, mind-blowingly. No, they don't break any records, but they're consistently high performers.
Right. I mean, I think they're all doing about $200 million,
yeah,
which is great, you know, for a movie.
And Ant-Man and Wasp, I think you said it last night, Lou, that this will probably do better than the first Ant-Man movie did, mostly based on just the continued MCU hype and with how well that Infinity War did.
Well, we were all amazed at how well... I don't think
this is going to break any records.
No. I mean, we were all amazed at how well Ant-Man did, because it was like an unknown character for people outside of comics, and it did really well in the theaters just because it was, you know, getting a boost from the MCU stuff. This one, now that it's a known commodity, I mean, I think Paul Rudd did a good job as Ant-Man the first mm-hmm. time, so people are anxious for that, and now we got Evangeline Lilly playing a Wasp.
Yeah.
So, sure, it's going to be a draw for her, and people are anxious now because of what happened to the MCU and what's going on with Infinity War and stuff. So, yeah, it's going to do well, but it would have to do almost double what the first one did to hit cap in our draft. So,
and you know, I think to be seen with it is going to be the relevance if they, because really this is not, we don't know if where this falls in the timeline relative to Infinity War. We're not completely certain about that. If this is just like a side trip, who cares?
Right.
I mean, yes, it will have some measure of entertainment value. I mean, everyone knows I was not a big fan of the first Ant-Man movie. It had its moments. I acknowledge. I mean, there were certainly some good parts to that movie,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't have a whole lot of relevance to me. I'm hoping this movie has more. Is it solely going to be because of the, whatever the heck they call it, the nano universe or I can't remember what the heck the name of it is for when he gets like so tiny and small, that that's going to have some kind of bearing on defeating Thanos. I don't know. So really the relevance of this movie is a big thing for me. Is this just some little side journey that doesn't matter, or is it going to have some bearing on the end of this phase?
Right. Well, we shall see, and I can't wait to see how we start doing in the movie draft. I think it's a pretty even playing field. I think we had a pretty good draft last night, even though we did kind of trash Andrea for running it the way she did, but we had a good time with that.
We did, and I'll tell you, actually, Andrea did really well. It was her first time running a draft. We had a couple of new draft participants with mm-hmm. Mike and Fred in there, and they did really well. They jumped in very, very early, and they both got some good films, and I think the results of it are pretty good. So, folks, you know, definitely stay tuned. I'm not sure if this episode is going to come out either before or after we release the episode of the movie draft, which might throw off our numbering of this episode. I just realized.
Well, I think we'll do that one as a special episode. It won't be numbered per se, because it's not really a random chatter show. It's it's in the same feed, but. So now, Tim, besides gallivanting around the globe, what have you been up to viewing wise?
Well, honestly, not a whole lot. You know, on the plane and stuff and to and from the airport, I spent a lot of time listening to podcasts. The great thing was coming on the trip back, I got to listen to shows like Random Chatter and Echo Base that I usually co-host on. So I got to listen to
you
guys did. Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. Well,
I'm
sorry.
Well, you're going to have to do better than that, Lou.
Well, you know, hey, you weren't there, so everything was your fault. Come on.
But I do appreciate Lou, or not Lou. Lou, I do appreciate you all the time.
Wow.
I do. But I appreciate Eric and Mike for sitting in for me. And they did leave something weird and sticky on my seat. I'm not even going to get into that. I just threw a towel down. And
yeah, we'll try to get that clean for you next week. Sorry.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of podcasts. My wife and I, one night hanging out in a hotel, did bring up, I had on my iPad the 2016 Ghostbusters. So the newer Ghostbusters remake, reboot kind of thing. With Melissa McCarthy and such. It was not good. It had some good moments. I mean, I definitely did laugh several times, and I appreciated things that they did with the storyline and with the characters, but it was so apparent that they tried really hard. And I think that is really a sign of a lot of Melissa McCarthy stuff, that like it's keep hitting the punchline over and over and over and over and over again.
Oh God. Yeah.
You know, trying to extend that laugh, and it just doesn't work, because it just becomes so apparent. It's like, okay, we get it. You're trying to be funny. And there were a number of moments, and not just with her, but also with some of the other situations in the film that did that. There were a lot of really great nods to the first two Ghostbusters movies.
Okay.
Along with obviously the lead actors from Ghostbusters having appearances in this.
Yeah.
With the exception of gosh, I can't remember his name, the one that passed away a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, sure. Put me on the spot.
Yeah. His name completely escapes me.
That guy, yeah.
But, yeah, that guy. So, it was not good. You know, my wife and I were reasonably entertained, but it's not something that we would watch again. Other than that, in the last week or so, we've had World Cup. And okay. I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I do enjoy the World Cup matches, you know, pretty big stakes, usually very entertaining games. Mm-hmm. And it's been good. I, you know, try to catch games where I can here and there. The U.S. is not competing in this one, but there are plenty of good teams. And it was kind of cool to interestingly enough, when Germany played, we were in Austria. Okay. We had left Germany for like 2 days to go to Austria, and it just happened to be the timing of it. So we weren't in Germany when Germany played, which was probably for the better, because they lost horribly. just 1-0, but they still lost, which is very unexpected. But Mexico has a really good team fielded. But then Germany, they did win yesterday. They had an awesome, like, 15 seconds left in the end of the game goal to break a tie and win. So,
nice.
Yeah, I like watching the World Cup stuff. It's fun. It's a good time.
Cool. Yeah, I've never gotten into watching soccer, as we call it in U.S., or football. I played as a kid, but never got into watching it. I don't know. But there are some very rabid fans out there, so I'm glad you're enjoying that. And I used my brain extension called Google and found it was Harold Ramis that passed away. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
I got to have that installed in my head. That'd be even better. I haven't really seen much new. I've been doing a lot of work down in my shop in my basement lately. So I've kind of had the TV on, and I put Clone Wars on in the background as I'm doing stuff. Oh, so
excellent.
I try not to watch new stuff down there, because then I can't watch it or do what I'm doing, and nothing gets done. So I try to put something on as background, and Clone Wars is good. And it's funny. I'm going through the first season right now. And it's been a long time since I've seen it, so it's just, you know, I'm realizing how bad the battle droids were back then, and I'm like, oh god. But I am realizing that, and I don't know, I guess I never realized this before, but every episode so far there's been the line, I've got a bad feeling about this.
Oh really?
And I'm on, I don't know, episode, I don't even know what I'm on. going through a bunch of them. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Maybe it wasn't every single one, but quite a few of them. Like, oh, there it is again. Oh, there it is again. So kind of a neat nod.
The thing about the first season of Clone Wars is that the individual stories, at least to me, aren't great. You know, I think we had the writers and the voice actors, you know, just kind of getting the feel for things.
Yeah.
As they were getting into the series. But reflectively, now going back and watching the first season, there's very relevant content, some real relevant points that they hit.
Yep.
In there, which I appreciate and I think is good. So in retrospect, that makes the first season of Clone Wars better and a little less painful.
Well, you know, in as I'm having it as background and I'm kind of just absorbing the story as you go along, I'm getting more of that overall arc, you know, of what the story of the first season is telling and getting into the actual war. And, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, this is where we're at. And I see that part of it just gives it a nice feel to me right now. So,
yeah,
I'm happy I'm doing it. So let's see. Let's get into the show. Box office updates. A little movie came out this week. Took over the box office called Jurassic World. It hit 150 in its first weekend. A little more than I've even actually expected it to do. But yeah, it's at 150 domestically in week one. Incredibles 2 is holding up extremely well with $80 million in its second weekend. Its total right now for 2 weeks is $350 million. Mm-hmm. So that's impressive. Ocean's 8, not quite as impressive, but still doing well. In its third week, brought $11 million in for a total of $100 in 3 weeks, which is not too shabby. Tag, in its third week, has only brought in $8.2 million for the weekend, and it's up to $30 million. And Deadpool still hanging in there. Actually, it jumped over Solo. Solo was 5 last week and is took it over again. It's $5.2 million this week for a total of $304 million.
And, you know, Jurassic World, some mixed reviews with that.
Yeah.
And it's still doing incredibly well. I mean, Rotten Tomatoes, it has a score of 50%.
Is that what it's at? Okay. Yeah. That was 50-something. So
that's obviously not good. And we've heard from some folks in Discord, and I've seen on social media and such, some folks really enjoyed the ride. Others have said they were a little disappointed by it. Incredibles, obviously, is getting really good reviews. Looking at Rotten Tomatoes, it's you know, certified fresh. It's 94%. That's really not a surprise to anyone.
I thought Incredibles 2 was better than the first one, to tell you the truth.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah, I saw it last weekend. We talked about it on the show, but yeah.
Oh, that's right. You did. Yes.
I think it's better than the first one. Now, the more I'm reflecting on it.
Yeah. You know, Ocean's 8, I think, is doing well. I think it's doing pretty well. I mean, still to be third place in its third week, I think it's great. Tag, it seems, got some mixed reviews. There were a lot of people who thought that it was a poorly executed concept. I'm still hoping to go see it because I think the trailers still look funny. And it seems to be at least a worthwhile kind of brainless entertainment movie. So.
Yeah, probably. Yep. And that's kind of how I'm looking at Jurassic World. I haven't seen it yet. I'm probably going to see it next weekend. But to me, it's not like I'm going to be getting something out of the movie. It's a fun ride, I think. That's what I want to go for it. But actually, I didn't think we needed a reboot of it last time either, but the first one did, you know, the first Jurassic World did incredibly well. What, 1.7 billion worldwide or something like that? Yeah. So.
Well, and I think the reason why you're not going to go see it until next week is because you're trying to delay Andrea's victory over you in the spring movie draft, right?
Hey, I am still leading. Don't take that away from me. I am still leading right now. I've got her by about 50 million.
Which I'm hoping. Every minute of this podcast that goes by, you realize that 50 million is being eroded.
I'm just hoping that Jurassic World has like a 98% drop off week to week, and I can still win this draft because I'm right there. I'm right there.
Lou, there are people who are buying tickets right now. You realize that.
I know. By the time we're done with this podcast, I'll probably be not leading the draft anymore. I mean, it's funny because I'm at 523 and she's at 476. Andrea is she I'm talking about. And, you know, I still say if it wasn't for The Quiet Place, I'd have this wrapped up.
Oh, I think so,
Quiet Place did $183 million.
Yeah.
I mean, great, maybe not. Because, I mean, I'm sure Jurassic World is going to hit cap, so... You put that at $400 million, and I'm still going to be, even if she didn't have a Quiet Place at all, I'd still be down. So.
Oh yeah, it probably would have taken another month though for that to actually come to fruition. So
yeah. Oh well, that means Andrea can host another movie draft next time.
I have a feeling the second time she's going to rule it with an iron fist.
I think
she's not going to let us get away with any nonsense. She's gonna, yeah. I think we'll see a different side of it. We're gonna see badass Andrea. That's what's gonna happen.
That's right. We could. And she will do it too. I know she will. She'll put us both in our place. Let's see. Next week we have Sicario finally coming up. We've been talking about this forever on our upcoming movies. That's coming out this weekend. Uncle Drew. One serious, one fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, take your pick. July, we have a whole host of stuff. We talked about this a bit in our movie draft discussion a little while ago.
July is loaded.
Man the Wasp, The First Purge, Hotel Transylvania 3, Skyscraper, The Equalizer 2, the Denzel Washington sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric said something I didn't know about last night. This is the first sequel that Denzel's ever done.
Yeah, which was amazing to me. I never realized
that. Thought about that. Yeah, it's cool. Mamma Mia 2, Mission Impossible Fallout, and Teen Titans Go are all coming out in July. So July is going to be a busy month for people going to see movies. Yeah.
What are you looking forward to the most on that list for
out
July?
Out of those, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go see Ant-Man and the Wasp. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it at the Purge movie, so I probably got to see the other ones before I see this one.
Well, but not necessarily, because this movie is the first Purge, so it actually establishes, it's a prequel, if you will, so it kind of establishes the premise before the other ones.
But I think you want to see them in the order they came out, though, I would imagine.
I like the original Purge movie. I'm trying to make sure I phrase this properly because to say I really like the first Purge.
The first Purge, it hasn't come out yet, Tim. What are you talking about?
No, not right. The first Purge. Right. No, the original Purge movie, I liked a lot, and I love the whole concept, and I love what they introduced, and I liked how they executed it. The second one is obviously within the same universe. It's not really a sequel. It's just a completely different group of people going through a purge. So completely different circumstances. And I assume that this movie, this prequel, the first Purge, will also be a completely different group of people going through their own experience, but it's going to be about the first Purge. So there's a lot of social commentary in it.
Sure.
Like the whole set, I imagine that the first act is going to be all about how the government is establishing this and probably debates on morality and all that kind of stuff.
Now, didn't they talk about some of that in the first movie, though?
Somewhat.
They have to, because you got to set up what's happening. I mean, yes. We're not just going to have a weekend of murder and killing and theft.
Yeah, they had to establish the concept, but they didn't really go deeply into it. They were very, very superficial. Okay. It was enough to set the stage for the movie, but for the people who wanted a deep look into it, we didn't get that out of it. So presumably this movie, the first Purge, is going to give that to us. So I think it's going to be real interesting. I've never seen, I had not seen either of the other Purge movies in the theater. And it may very well work out that I don't see this one in the theater. For as much as I love them, I may very well wait until it comes out on streaming or whatnot. Right. I will definitely see Ant-Man and the Wasp in the theater. Again, not because I'm an Ant-Man fan, but because I'm an MCU fan.
Right.
And I'm very excited to see Skyscraper in the theater. I think this looks like a fantastic movie.
Yeah, Skyscraper is the one out of this list that I really want to see, but I don't know if I'm going to see it in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds kind of funny because it seems like the movie you'd want to see on a big screen, but So for some reason, I'm just hesitant to say, yeah, let me go see that. But it should be good. Yeah.
And yes.
I mean, I like The Rock. He's done some good stuff, and he's usually a good actor. Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, it's got The Rock. Yes, it looks very Die Hardy, but that's okay. I'm totally okay with that. So,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it'll be a good month.
Okay. Very good. So in addition to our movie draft that we just recorded last night, there will be, after Eric posts the episode, the fans can get involved. Uh-huh. And if you go to randomchatter.com/moviedraft, you can put your own submissions in based on what the figures were that we bid for them. So some of them you'll see are really outlandish. Like I paid a lot of money for Mile 22 because it was the end of the draft and I had to get something before Eric got everything and had to play with that one. And I bid Tim up on... was it Mission Impossible?
Yeah. You jerk.
I wanted to get you involved. I wanted to make you feel like you paid for something good.
Oh, so. I paid all right. I paid you right paid out my it, yeah. rear for it. Unfortunately, Mission Impossible was like the last tentpole movie that was remaining. And in order to have any chance of being competitive, I had to win it. And... you know, my good buddy here, Lou, the second half of Team Bald Guy, really hey, put the screws dollar, to me. Though. So
I went up by a dollar a time. I saved you a dollar because I could have went to 60 and you would have had to go 61.
Yeah, you saved me a dollar. Thanks, didn't. Lou.
I saved you a dollar.
That's a good friend right there. That's a good friend.
I try, Tim.
I actually should be thanking you. Thank you, Lou. Thank you.
You're welcome, Tim. You're welcome. Now, how are you doing it now? Were you able to update your FML movie draft?
We shouldn't.
While you're in
Europe? Let's not talk about FML.
Oh, Tim, are you down in the rankings?
All right. So last week I ended up taking ninth place in the weekly. Even with ninth that, place, I still held on to first overall in the Random Chatter League. Okay. This week, I think 13th or 14th. And that has dropped me down to third overall in the Random Chatter League. I definitely did them quicker than I usually do. And with less thought, just because I was, you know, we were on vacation. I was in a hotel room. I really didn't go through the depth of analysis that I often go through.
Okay.
I'm hoping to get, you know, back in the saddle this week, but man, these last 2 weeks have been, they've been rough. Yeah, I mean,
I had a week where
I'm actually getting beaten by like Mike.
Oh my God. Well, I'm sixth this week right now, according to what's going on until the finals come out tomorrow. But I had a week 2 weeks ago where I was working and forgot about updating and I was like, oh damn it.
Yep.
So I dropped way down. I'm 17th overall right now. Yeah, I know it's rough.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's fun.
It is. It is a good time, and I you know, next month again, just reflecting on the movies that are going to be out next month, I think that's going to make it a lot of fun.
Oh, I think so too, because it'd be a lot of those be split up over multiple days.
Yes, Ant-Man and the Wasp definitely will. Mission Impossible probably will. Skyscraper maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
So yeah, it's going to make for a very active and interesting month on Fantasy Movie League.
It will be fun. Okay, awesome. Let's get right into our stories then. Now that we're half hour in. Well, we already talked about Jurassic World, so we can kind of glance through this one really quickly. 150 opening, it beat the estimate that it had. It was expected to do 130. Mm-hmm. So it beat that by 20 million. We don't see things beating their estimates very often, especially the past couple of years. So it was pretty interesting. And 700 million globally. So that was good.
Yeah.
They mentioned the article I saw that was pulling this from, it mentioned that it beat Deadpool opening weekend. I don't know if that was just because that was the biggest opening weekend of the year so far or not. I didn't really see anything about that. But, you know, good to see it doing well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the article also said that, you know, based on a lackluster performance of Solo, people were anticipating a big movie. They wanted a big movie. I'm like, I don't think that had anything to do with it.
No.
You know, they're looking for stories to put Solo down a little bit.
Yeah, people could have just gone to see Solo.
Right.
You know, why not? But yeah, it's actually, I mean, you know, looking at this, like you mentioned, compared to Deadpool, you know, this is Jurassic World's opening weekend, and they're already basically at half of what Deadpool 2 is at in their sixth week. So it's they yep. have they've got a strong start out of the gate with Jurassic World.
Yeah, so I don't know why they made a big deal in the article that it beat Deadpool 2, because it's not the biggest opening of the year. It's not even the fourth biggest opening of the year. So, I mean, Infinity War had 257, Black Panther at 202, Incredibles even beat it at 182. So, what did the first one do opening weekend?
What's that, the first Jurassic World?
Yeah.
That I do not know.
This is amazing podcasting here.
Yes, this is
listening to us look stuff up on Google.
Yeah, you get to hear us trying to fill dead air. You hear Lou typing.
Its opening was 208. So,
oh wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah, it didn't do quite as well as the first one. So interesting.
Yeah, they rarely do though.
True.
They really do. True. You always see kind of that percent down with each and every sequel. So I think the only ones that tend to buck that trend are like Fast and Furious. They seem to be, I mean, there's, what was it? Fast and Furious 8, or, like, destroyed everyone else.
Right. Right. But, you know, otherwise you'd see things like Deadpool that didn't do amazingly in its first weekend, I don't think, in the first movie, but ramped up with, you know, talk about the movie. Yeah. So, let's see what else we have. Oh, Tim, did you make this bid for buying? You know, Fox and Disney, and did you get involved in that? Or were you part of that discussion?
I really, I probably shouldn't say, you know, I talked to some people, like, called my banks. I was able to scrape together, like, you know, about $40 billion. I can't even say that with a straight face. I know.
So what we're talking about here is... Fox has graciously agreed to Disney's bid of $71 billion.
Yeah.
After an offer by Comcast.
And Comcast's offer, and this is a significant increase because Comcast's offer was in the 60s. $65 billion was Comcast's offer. So Disney came back, and so Disney's deal here, the big thing that was very attractive by shareholders to Comcast offer was because theirs was fully cash. Whereas Disney's initial offer of $53 billion was in stock.
Last year. Yeah.
What Disney did with this one. So not only is it a significant increase of several billion dollars over Comcast, but it gives the option to shareholders to take either cash or stock with it. And, so it's pretty significant. It obviously is all things in this area need to go through. It needs to be approved by regulators. But after the whole AT&T Time Warner thing, pretty much everyone expects that this is going to pass. Now, that said, Comcast actually still has another shot. I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah. With how Fox is doing this, they are continuing to allow counteroffers. So I don't know if Comcast is going to try to come back with something, but this is a heck of a thing. I mean, Comcast's last offer was $65 billion, and, you know, Disney upped it to $71 billion. Yeah. Is Comcast going to come through with more? I don't know.
And if they do, will Disney come back with more? I mean, what is Fox really worth?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some fantastic properties that Fox has that are included in this. And obviously, as we've been talking about for a long time, you know, a lot of fans are excited about the merging of Marvel properties with this.
Right.
But there's also some other, you know, really great franchises that come with this.
Yeah, I mean, they're not doing this just to bring X-Men and Fantastic Four into the MCU.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a lot of money to spend on something like that. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that 20th Century Fox has that would be part of Disney. I mean, what isn't Disney going to own?
They own darn near everything right now. So
as long as they keep making good stuff, they can buy whatever they want.
So one of the things that they don't own, but they have had some involvement with, is the Spider-Man franchise.
True, true. They're getting their hands in there. I mean, it's not officially part of the MCU, but they're marketing it under Marvel now, right?
Yes, yeah. It definitely has the Marvel tag, which they have the rights to do. In fact, I think it might have been a contractual requirement that they had to do that. Okay. Because it is still associated with Marvel Comics, but it is not being released by Marvel Entertainment, which is that's the flag that we see things coming out under by Disney that does the MCU stuff. So, but with Spider-Man, we did have, was this yesterday, I think?
Yeah, yesterday, Tom Holland leaked the title.
Yeah, so you know, Tom Holland saying that, well, I can't say anything about the movie. And so he had his tablet with him, and he said, hey, you know, I do have, though, the script right here. And he holds up his tablet, and it was the cover page for the script, and that happened to have the title of the movie on the cover page. So
now, do you think this was a slip, or do you think they wanted to announce it that way?
I have to think that there have been so many of these supposed slips by Tom Holland that I think it's too coincidental for there to be so many of these. Maybe the first one was a slip.
Right. That's what I was thinking. But then they've,
you know, the marketing folks have capitalized on this and said, hey, Tom, you know, you're really good natured and everyone likes you, and we can keep playing you up to be the idiot publicly. So we want you to make a slip about this. Right. So I, to me, that's what I think that they're doing with it. So the title was from Tom Holland, and it was confirmed by Kevin Feige, which of course is interesting because Kevin is not directly associated with this because this is a Sony film. It's Spider-Man Far From Home. So this is the sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, loosely connected with the MCU, but this is not expected to be directly an MCU film like Spider-Man Homecoming was. We're not expecting to see Tony Stark or any of the other MCU cast of characters in this. So,
right. I think now that he has established himself and they've got this on the right track, they don't have to have, you know, Marvel characters in there all the time now. But I'm happy it's in the same world. I'm happy this is moving forward in a better fashion, you know, than other Spider-Man movies have been in the past.
Yeah. The title definitely makes sense with things that we have heard about the story, with the story itself not taking place in New York, that, you know, Peter is on a school trip or something and is traveling in Europe or somewhere and then ends up getting caught up in something.
Yeah.
So that definitely does make sense for us.
I mean, I think it would be fun, but in a way, you know, I mean, he's a New York guy. I want it to be in New York, but
yeah,
we can't always have we can't always have we
right.
Want.
Yeah, and we, you know, traditionally Marvel comic characters, so many of them are grounded in New York City, just because, you know, New York City is so big in real life that it does make a good environment to do a lot of things in. It makes a great analog to Gotham City or to Metropolis, as DC has. In you know, whereas Gotham and Metropolis are, we can get a feel for them as being real places, even though they're not. On the Marvel side, using New York City, they are able to ground it even more because they can use very specific landmarks that we know, that people are familiar with. So it does make it feel like it is more in our world. And it also works out well because Marvel Comics headquarters has always been in New York City. So, that's you true. Know, when their writers are looking for material, they can simply go for a stroll, you know,
yeah, through look outside my window and write
exactly,
about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, but all, you know, practically all Marvel Comics characters have ventured forth from New York City in some fashion in their history. So,
true.
We get to see Spider-Man presumably do that in this movie.
But to me, it's like it's too soon. You know, he's like he's just coming into his own. He's just becoming Spider-Man. You don't go out of your home right away. But
yeah. Well, but again, if they do this, that it's part of a school trip because, you know, remember, he's still in high school. So
true. Yeah,
there can be a very logical impetus to make that happen.
Very good. Well, we will be waiting for that with bated breath. I will at least be. So, and Tim, how up to date are you are on the whole Roseanne debacle?
I'm sadly familiar with it.
Because I mean, some things have happened since you've been away, and I'm not sure how big Roseanne plays in Europe. But I went on a little rant about this on our Discord rant channel the other day. They announced that ABC is going forward with the series, a spinoff series called The Conners. Mm-hmm. And it's basically going to take everybody but Roseanne from the Roseanne show and do this new series. And I think it's great they're doing this because it's protecting the jobs of the people that are working on the show, the cast, yeah. The crew, you know, everybody, the writers. And I think that's great because it sucks that these guys all lost their jobs or were going to because Roseanne was just stupid.
And there's a lot of good people who have worked on this, you know, both the current series and the original part of the series. And, you know, in terms of great actors and, you know, as you mentioned, the crew as well. And also good characters. And I've not watched any of this reboot. But I do remember watching a lot of the original Roseanne series when it was out. So,
yeah, I think I watched it when it was new and it was funny. You know, it was timely. It was, you know, it fit in with the times we were in. I'm not sure how well it plays today, you know, versus when it was out. And that's kind of why I didn't want to go back and watch the reboot because I'm like, it's the same show, I think, from, you know, when it was originally on now.
Yeah.
And we've moved on. We've changed. Our humor is different. Our comedy is definitely not the same as it was. The same things aren't acceptable anymore, you know? So I didn't really want to get back to that. But what burned me up this week was when ABC announced this, Roseanne had announced that she was accepting a settlement from ABC to allow everybody to keep their jobs and get this doing, almost like she was doing a good thing to take the settlement to let them continue making their livelihood.
Yeah, she was being benevolent by doing so.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, yep. I mean, you own the rights to it or whatever she had, they had to pay her off to be able to go ahead and do this. I understand that. I mean, there's rights that people have and things have to take place legally to make this thing go. But to have her come out and say basically, you're welcome, I'll take this money and you guys can have your jobs. Yep. I'm like, no, the right thing to do would have been to say, yeah, you don't have to pay me. I'm just going to go away quietly and you do your own thing. Take the properties, take the names, take the characters and do your own thing. But to have her just come out and say, you're welcome, basically, I'm like, oh my God, that just rubs me the wrong way so bad.
Yeah.
But
I think that this series will have some good potential behind it because of there are a lot of actors in this that we certainly liked from the first 9 seasons of the show. And then in the meantime, we saw these actors doing other things. I mean, John Goodman obviously had done plenty of stuff before Roseanne, and he did things after Roseanne, and you know, I like him as an actor. He does some really interesting things. Laurie Metcalf, same with her, but we also saw her as with a recurring role in Big Bang Theory. Same with Sarah Gilbert with her recurring role in Big Bang Theory. So it's these are actors that we've really grown to like and appreciate. And so it'll be cool to see what they do. Are they going to kill off Roseanne? Is it just going to be like, hey, you know, she had a heart attack or something, or she was run over by a bus?
I don't care how they do it, but I hope they make it so she doesn't come back. Because if they ever bring her back as a cameo or as a, you know, a character at some point down the road, I think people are just going to lose their heads.
Yeah. It'll be a little disappointing.
All right. So hopefully they do something where she does not have the opportunity to return.
What's very interesting here, and I'm just looking on IMDb through the series cast, and we had the original part of the series, which ran from 1988 to 1997.
Okay.
And so then because this is really an extension, this is just what we've had so far, at least, has been season 10 of the series. So it wasn't done as a reboot or as a new series. They just simply did this as another season. So we have in how IMDb lists things is, you know, with the number of episodes and the years that they spanned. So 2018 shows up for all the characters that have been in it in this season 10. And interestingly enough, Johnny Galecki is listed to 2018.
Really?
Yeah. Which is, I didn't think that he was going to be involved at all in this. And so I don't know. Actually, and I'm looking now through.
Interesting.
Yes, there's one episode called Darlene v. David in which he does appear.
Okay.
And I don't know if this was. Oh, it was aired. So it was aired April 17th. So if people watch this, they would know that. I did not watch it. And yeah, you didn't either. I guess this was no surprise. To people listening, if they did watch this.
I wonder if that was their most expensive episode, because he commands a pretty big fee.
Oh, yes, he does.
Per episode, a big bag.
Yes, he does. And yeah, I mean, I remember hearing when they were first talking about continuing this, that he was not going to be part of this at all. Right. And this one particular episode, he did come in. So yeah, that's interesting. I did not know that.
Nice. That's cool.
So I really talked about something that happened that other people knew about that we didn't.
That's right. Yeah, you know, hey, we learn things too. You know, that's what we do the show for. So we can learn, expand our own horizons and say things.
Sorry, folks, for those last 3 minutes of crap. And no, we're not going to, you know, do the convenient thing for you and edit it out.
No, we're leaving it there. Yeah. We make mistakes too. Come on. Oh, boy. Now, Tim, this next one here, I have to say, I did not see the show. You put this in the show notes for a new film from Netflix that is called Like Father.
Yeah.
Features Kelsey Grammer and Kristen Bell, which I like both actors, so this should be fun.
Oh, yeah, they're both great comedians.
Is this a comedy? Is this a feature-length film, first off, or is it a series on Netflix?
This is a feature-length film. So this is going to be a one-shot thing, Netflix exclusive, so don't expect to see it in the theater. Netflix did just put out the trailer for this. It's a mostly comedy, bit of drama thing. And as the description goes here, Kristen Bell, who has been estranged from her father, who's played by Kelsey Grammer, she basically gets left at the altar, happens to have a run-in with her father immediately thereafter. I assume he was, you know, heard about her wedding. He was going to show up. They get together after. Apparently, they get totally drunk. And she had tickets to a cruise, which is going to be her honeymoon with her husband-to-be. And both her and her father ended up on the cruise ship. They wake up the next morning. They completely, you know, they basically were that drunk that they didn't remember they did it. And now they're stuck on the ship together. They haven't talked to each other in years, aside from getting drunk the night prior. Yeah. Interesting. So, you know, you have this father and daughter reconnection type of story. And Seth Rogen does appear in it, I guess, in a small part. One thing that's neat about this, so Lauren Miller, or Lauren Miller Rogen, who is Seth Rogen's wife, who's been involved in the industry for a number of years, but she's never directed a film before. She's going to be directing this. And it looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. You know, like you said, Kelsey Grammer is, I mean, he's just an incredible actor. And Kristen Bell has done some really good stuff. So I think pairing them together could be a lot of fun. The trailer looks okay. It doesn't look great. I don't think it's the best cut trailer ever made. I don't know that it sells this movie really well.
And you know, speaking of selling it too, I really want to understand how Netflix does these versus series. I mean, you're spending a lot of money on a feature-length film that you're going to promote on Netflix. That's where it's going to be viewed. So you're not selling it to somebody else to put on their network. It's for your own network. I mean, the only way Netflix gets money is from subscribers, right?
Yeah.
So what's going to bring in more subscribers, more new subscribers? A movie like this or a series of Marvel something?
It's such an interesting business model that Netflix has, and you're absolutely right, because getting subscribers is the big thing for them, and putting out a movie like this, is this going to gain them subscribers?
Right. I think it's great they're doing this kind of thing, you know, for the industry. I think it's important because I don't think everything has to be shown on the big screen, but I just don't see how they're monetizing this. I really don't know.
I think that the model with something like this is not necessarily to gain subscribers, but to maintain subscribers. So subscribers feel that they are continuing to get new and fresh content that's being made exclusively for them.
Right.
And, you know, basically they're continuing to be entertained. And it's not just waiting for something to be out of the theater for a long enough period of time to come onto Netflix. Netflix is saying, hey, look, we're creating stuff just for you. And so I think something like this is less of gaining subscribers than maintaining subscribers. That's my thought.
Yeah, no, I'd love to see how they justify this kind of expense, you know, for a movie that arguably you're going to watch once and never see it again. It's not a big draw movie like, oh my God, I got to see this thing, and it's going to be a cult following and everything else. It's not that. It's a comedy. I mean, those kind of things don't have that kind of following like cult type movies are. Yeah, well, I think it's good they're doing it, and we'll see how this turns out.
Yeah, and it's not like the, the movie that they did on Netflix with Will Smith.
Bright. Yes.
You know, something,
and to me that's like a cult type movie. That's something that people are going to follow.
Yeah,
it's got its own universe to it, and maybe there's a sequel to it.
And it seems to be. But, I mean, they were talking about that, and we mentioned it here on Random Chatter earlier in the year that they, because it got such a great response on Netflix to do that. Right, obviously, right. Will Smith is a big name, costs Netflix, I'm sure, a lot of money to secure him, and. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, is that going to get subscribers? Yeah, it probably stands a chance of gaining more subscribers than this movie like Father does.
Right, but even if it didn't gain many more, it's still keeping people happy and keeping them, this is exclusive content, more along the lines of what I think would be a draw for something like this. Otherwise, I mean, is there 10 of the movies like this made in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, similar-esque type comedies that are, you know, whatever. Yep. I mean, you can't really call it a rom-com because it's father and daughter, but you know, it doesn't seem to be that unique.
Yeah.
you know, that would cause people to say, oh, I'm glad I'm a subscriber to Netflix because I'm getting this movie.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, well. So the last thing we have here in our news is a discussion about Batman and where the Batman is going to exist.
Yeah. So we're talking about the film, The Batman.
The Batman, right?
Which is...
As opposed to the first person.
Yes. You know, which is presumably, well, it's going to be the next standalone Batman film.
Batman movie.
Mm-hmm. Which we're pretty sure is going to be played by, and now his name escapes me. Who's playing Batman right now? Lou, help me out.
I can see his face. Damn it, Tim, you're doing it to me again. We did this before. The last guy was a dead guy. This guy's a live guy.
Yeah. Our listeners are screaming at
Affleck.
Us. Yes, Affleck. Ben Affleck. Thank you.
Right, yeah.
So, presumably going to be played by Ben Affleck, but even...
I thought he bowed out. I thought he wasn't...
There's been a lot of back and forth with that.
Yeah.
But I think the last thing it's been settled on is that, yes, he is going to play it. And he plays a good Batman. By the way, folks, if you want a really mm-hmm. good dissection of all the Batman, the Batman movies and who played Batman best and who played Bruce Wayne best, listen to Caped Chronicles. I think it was maybe their second episode. Yeah. And the focus of that episode was on the 89 Batman movie, but then they got into a broader discussion on the different Batman actors, and it was a really good discussion. They did a great job with that. So but I digress. So the big issue here is the Batman going to be part of the current DC expanded universe? There are some rumors that this story may not necessarily be an origin story, but at least an earlier story of Batman, something that would certainly be placed prior to the current DC movies.
Okay.
And so with that, there's some speculation that, well, gee, we have this Joker origin movie that we're talking about, which is not part of the DCEU. So maybe the Batman will be connected to the Joker. I just named that movie just now. You're welcome, Warner Brothers. My God, DC, what in the world are you doing?
How do you not have this mapped out somewhere? Somebody go out and buy them a whiteboard, put it up in the conference room, and just start mapping out what they need to do. Here, these are your movies. These are your characters. How do they fit together?
That absolutely has to be a better approach than what they're doing right now, which is they go to the grocery store. They buy one of those giant packs of bologna, the big ones. I'm not talking like the little, I'm talking the huge, like family size ones. And then they go back to their office and they open up the package and they tear off one piece of bologna. And they write something on it with a Sharpie and they throw it at a wall and they see what happens to it. And they take another one off and they write something on that with a Sharpie and they throw it on the wall. And maybe it comes before, maybe it comes after, maybe it lands above, maybe under, maybe it falls off the wall and falls on the floor. No one knows where this baloney actually settles. So no one at Warner Brothers or DC knows what the... I want to use expletives because I'm frustrated.
Easy.
What in the world are they doing? I want to like DC I love Batman. I really, really like of anyone in DC. I like Batman, love Batman the most. And I want to see them do something great. I want to see them continue to do something great with this character. But this is stupid. You either create a cinematic universe that you put your characters in, or you freaking don't. You don't create like 8 different cinematic universes that you do stuff in different timelines and mess around with people and your viewers. And yes, you can still create good movies and do that. But the success of, I mean, if we want to make the comparison to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the success in that is the connections between these films.
Right.
Maybe Warner Brothers is saying, no, we're not going to create something like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and we're just going to take a bunch of pieces of baloney, and we're going to throw them out there, and whatever happens, happens. Hopefully people will enjoy individual films.
I think your baloney analogy actually is pretty apt, because what happens is if you don't throw them just right and they don't hit like flat, they don't stick real well and they fall down. So probably there was a couple really good ideas they had that are on the floor somewhere, and the rat got them. Remember that rat that took the pizza? Yeah. Now he's called Baloney Rat now. I think he took that baloney.
Is that the rat that we saw in the beginning of Solo?
It was. Yes, that's right.
See, what we just did? Do you realize that we tied together this real life urban thing from New York City with Warner Brothers and then with Star Wars? This is the kind of quality content that you come to us for here at Random Chatter.
Yeah, and Warner Brothers, if you're interested in making some movies with some good connections, let us know. We'll help you out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we can do that, we can probably connect a Batman to Superman to Wonder Woman and make it, you know, plausible.
And I would at least be going for, like, the quality local-made deli bologna and not, like, a big package of Oscar Mayer.
Oscar Mayer, yeah.
Because I think that's just probably not going to stick as well. I don't know. I'm very frustrated with this. I don't understand it. There's just no direction.
Yeah. And now I don't think, you know, I don't remember which episode it was on. What were they thinking weekly about the three different Joker movies that are in development?
Yeah.
It's like, how do you guys do this? I mean, somebody needs to slap them in the face and say, let's all sit down and figure this out.
And I'm so glad
before we do anything else
that I wasn't on that episode, because I would have been freaking out as much as I am right now, because I cannot comprehend. Maybe I'm too dumb. I don't understand this. Someone needs to explain this to me. So please, listeners.
Well, I think if they could have explained this, and I say them as in, you know, the people making these movies, they would have. And they're not, because they don't have a clue. Everything is jumbled, and one hand doesn't know what the other one's doing. It's like there's, you know, eight people in a three-legged race, and their legs are tied together, and nobody knows which one's doing what and who's walking where. It's just it's confusing, and this is not helping.
Listeners, seriously, if there's someone out there who's listening to this who has a better clue than we do about this, you know, randomchatter at randomchatter.com, Lou at randomchatter, Tim at randomchatter, hit us up on Discord, hit us up on Twitter. Please freaking enlighten us, because we don't understand what they're doing. I don't know.
The thing that kills me is the characters in DC are just as engaging as the characters in Marvel.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, arguably, the three that we've had, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, are the three biggest names they have. Make something with them. I mean, I thought the Dark Knight trilogy was amazing. I know that's not part of the thing they're doing now, but it's like, that was fantastic. Run with that. Every time we get some traction somewhere, there's a glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
Somebody else comes in and decides to change the game plan and say, we're not doing it anymore. We're doing this. Because this is going to be the thing.
And Wonder Woman is awesome.
Yes.
The first movie was great. I'm really, really looking forward to this, to the sequel to, was it Wonder Woman 84? Yeah. I think it's going to be, I'm really, really optimistic about it. I think they've done incredible things with the character. Batman has been their go-to character since 1989. They've had a lot of successes with it. Why now suddenly are they like crapping all over this character? I don't understand it. I don't get it.
I don't either. Tim, I'm going to let you take us into what were they thinking weekly, because I have not read this article yet. And it's got to be good.
It's not.
No? Come on, it's got Ewan McGregor. It's got a Stephen King property.
And there it is. That's actually it. What you laid out there is the whole thing.
It doesn't sound very bad. How is it bad?
Well, you ever see The Shining, Lou?
Yeah, loved it.
When did that come out?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, early 80s, right?
Let's take a, you know, because our listeners love hearing us type.
yeah, you. Well, I mean, I was a kid when it came out, right?
1980.
So, okay.
1980 is when it came out. Great movie. I mean, just fantastic. Yeah. Cinematic adaptation of a Stephen King novel. Really, really awesome. Do you think it deserved a sequel?
No, I don't think it was room for a sequel. All right, was
it? It doesn't matter what you think. sorry, Lou.
Thanks,
there
Jim.
Are other people doing the thinking for us, so our thoughts and opinions don't matter.
So we're getting a sequel, I'm assuming.
The thing is, Stephen King wrote not only a sequel to The Shining, he actually also wrote a prequel.
He did?
He wrote a prequel called Overlook Hotel, and he wrote a sequel called Dr. Sleep.
Oh, I think I heard about Dr. Sleep. I didn't read it, but I heard about it.
So they're, Warner Brothers is apparently going ahead with the sequel film, again, Dr. Sleep, and they have casted Ewan McGregor as the starring role.
Well, he's a good actor.
In said film. But this is a sequel to a movie that came out in 1980. I don't know that anyone's been looking forward to this movie. I would say that Dr. Sleep is a novel of Stephen King's that I've never heard anyone talk about, and I may not have ever seen on a bookshelf anywhere, including bookstores, libraries, etc.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've heard of it, but I can't say as I own it or anything.
So I just don't know. And of course, the great thing, closing out the article in Variety here, you know, they're talking about The Shining, which is Stephen King. It's disturbing. It's a horror thriller kind of movie, which Jack Nicholson did like this freaking incredible performance in, and was really great. So they talk about, you know, what could be coming up. They talk a little bit about The Shining itself, and the very last statement is Ewan McGregor can be seen in Disney's Winnie the Pooh adaptation, Christopher Robin.
Because there's some good cross, viewing between a horror movie and a Disney Winnie the Pooh movie. Yeah. Sure. I can see those audiences overlap tremendously.
So this apparently, though, so Danny Torrance, who was the kid in The Shining, that's the character that Ewan McGregor has been cast to play in the sequel. So Danny is obviously grown up. He's an adult, and unfortunately is going to be going through a very bad time because this is a Stephen King story. So more bad things are going to happen to him. I don't know.
Interesting.
I just don't know that this was a necessary thing. But I mean, in all honesty, I've never read the book. Like I said, I wasn't even familiar that Dr. Sleep was something that was around. So it may be a really great story and could do really well with a film adaptation. So, you know, we'll see. I mean,
I may have to pick this up on Audible and listen to the book, but
the thing is that it's going to be compared to The Shining.
Right. And how can you compare something to The Shining? I mean, that was a movie that was directed by Stanley Kubrick, I think, right? And it was amazing for what it was. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting at the end of this Variety article you posted in here. It says the film was considered a box office disappointment, earning $44 million on a budget of $19
million. Not a disappointment.
I'm like, how is it a disappointment?
Yeah.
you more than doubled your money.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I don't know.
And they say, well, it's thought to be one of the great horror classics, which it absolutely is. And I mean, it's part of the pop culture lexicon. Even people who don't necessarily who haven't even seen the movie know of its existence, and it's so
right
tangential to things in pop culture. I mean, it was. We talked about this when we did our review of Ready Player One, film, because they included the Shining, the hotel from The Shining, in Ready Player One. But then they say, well, it has a built-in fan base ready for a sequel.
Really?
Almost 40 years later, they're saying,
yeah, I was gonna say,
we have a fan base that's, quote, ready for a sequel. all right.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, yeah, they've been waiting forever. I mean,
yeah.
Oof.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Hey, you know what? And here's a movie that I'll talk about that came out even before I was alive. Casablanca. Great movie. Absolute classic. Is it valid to say that it has a built-in fan base ready for a sequel? No. No. I love Casablanca. It's like not a top 10 film for me. It does not require a sequel. Yes, it has a fan base, but that fan base really, I don't think, is interested in a sequel. I don't know that The Shining has a fan base that's interested in a sequel. I
don't think it does. No,
I don't understand it. So that's all I have. There's a lot of things that we talked about today here, Lou, that I simply can't comprehend.
Yeah. And this is definitely one of them. I mean, I like Ewan McGregor. I like Stephen King stuff. Sometimes the Stephen King stuff doesn't translate well from book to screen, and I'll be the first one to admit that. But saying there's a ready-made audience for this one, and saying that people have been waiting to see this movie, no. Now, when did the book Dr. Sleep come out? Do you know?
That I don't know. But yeah, it's just
I'd like to see how long after he wrote that did this come, you know, after The Shining, did this come out?
Yeah.
I just don't know why you'd write a sequel and a prequel to a movie to a book you did years ago that was awesome. And you don't need to go anywhere. It's kind of like, we don't need a Boba Fett movie, personally. But anyway, we didn't need a Solo movie. But anyway, I digress. Well, I guess at this point, we will wrap this show up. We're a little over an hour. I'm sure Tim is fading fast, being on European time still. And I need to get myself to bed so I can get to work in the morning. But if you have any questions for us or any feedback for the show, please send us an email. We mentioned it before, the best way to get a hold of all the hosts here is just randomchatter@randomchatter.com. that does go to all three of us. You can also find us online on Twitter. We've kind of streamlined our Twitter account, so we have just one. It's Random Chatter is the Twitter for most of the network now. We've done away with a lot of our sub-Twitter accounts. You can find me on Twitter at Lou Skywalker. That's Skywalker without the E. You can find Lizzie on Twitter. She's not here, but I don't think she locked her Twitter account in the office, so she can probably get to the Twitter account.
Probably still on. In fact, I should have been tweeting to her during this show. I was remiss.
You should have, yeah. But you can get to her at Nerd in the City. And Tim, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
Is that tiny Qui-Gon Tim, or is that just Qui-Gon Tim?
It depends if you ask Andrea or not.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
Instagram? You going to talk about Instagram?
Oh, yeah. No, we have a new Instagram account for the network. It's just at Random Chatter.
Very good. You can also find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. That's where we have we talked about the movie draft stuff. There's a link right up there on top for the movie draft. You can see the spreadsheets. You can see what our players have bid on things. And you can see the information on how you can participate also in the movie draft, as well as finding you can stream our shows from there. We have a new poll that's up that Carrie put up recently. And other stuff that we have there as well. We definitely appreciate folks spreading the word. Word of mouth is really like the greatest way to get things out there for podcasts and help expand our audience. So friends, family members, coworkers, complete strangers, if they have common interests with you, please tell them about us and encourage them to listen. We also appreciate you leaving reviews any place where you get our podcast from. Places like iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, etc. Click on all the stars, you know, write in a sentence or two. Don't be lazy, folks. Write in a little bit to tell folks why you like us and what's cool about us and, you know, hashtag Team Bald Guy and that kind of thing. We definitely appreciate some financial support. You can do so by hitting us up on Patreon. You can go to randomchatter.com/Patreon and find out all the details there on how you can contribute to our efforts. It does cost money to run a podcast network. And as we continue to grow and have quite an array of shows here across a lot of different interests in entertainment, we have web hosting fees and data storage fees and all that kind of stuff, along with some administrative expenses and things that it costs us to run things. So just $1 a month from Patreon will get you full access to, or almost full access to, our Discord community. You can actually try out Discord for free, randomchatter.com/Discord. That'll get you into our public lobby and some select other channels where you can interact with myself and Lou and Lizzie and all the other hosts and a lot of other listeners. We've actually had some significant growth in Discord over just the last few weeks. We've seen like a couple new people coming in every single week. So we continue to grow there and it's great and we definitely appreciate it. Also, the contribution amounts on Patreon go up from there, and the more that you give to us, the more we give to you. Things like access to premium content and early releases and fun stuff like that. So we definitely appreciate your support.
Awesome. And the music you hear in the podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly, and we are out.
That's it. We're done.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.